From KLW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in North Richmond.
Kentfield.
Oh, I live in San Jose near Campbell.
Bayview.
Coming up, we'll look at how things are going at City College of San Francisco from the inside.
I'm optimistic because City College is a great place, and we've mounted a very good battle against people who are trying to do us in.
Then from the outside, a reporter's perspective on City College from the Chronicle's Nanette Asimov.
To not be able to predict how you're going to spend your money a few years out is significantly problematic.
And we'll examine whether California's public university system measures up to its own standards.
What's the quality of education when, you know, you are not able to take the classes that you need and you end up taking filler classes that you don't need?
Putting public higher education under the microscope today on Cross Currents. It's been a tough year for City College of San Francisco.
The organization that accredits community colleges has given CCSF 8 months to come up with a plan to deal with its finances. The school was also ordered to use that time to get ready to possibly close.
The school first ran into trouble last July when an oversight commission called its accreditation into question, citing fiscal, structural, and governance issues. The sanctions forced the school and its 85,000 students into crisis mode as they scrambled to fix the problems and keep the school accredited. Over the past year, layoffs and wage reductions have helped to trim the budget, though not without protest. And changes have been made to the school's mission, accounting practices, and spending. Earlier this month, the Accrediting Commission met in Burlingame to discuss the school's fate, as well as that of 45 other California community colleges also facing review. About two dozen City College supporters tried to attend the ostensibly public meeting, but were turned away with no clear explanation as to why. At that meeting, the commission made its decision, but the official announcement is still weeks away and still being kept secret. Meanwhile, the faculty union has filed an official complaint against the commission itself, claiming violation of federal laws and serious conflicts of interest in the evaluation process. The commission has responded to some of those issues in a letter. KLW's Jen Chien attended a recent meeting of the Save CCSF Coalition, which includes faculty, students, and community members. She spoke with people there about what the mood at City College is like as they await the commission's decision.
Oh, the mood on campus is mixed. People, it's been a difficult year. We've had to do more work than ever. But I think the last few months we've become more hopeful, those of us who are deep into the struggle. Yeah. I'm optimistic because City College is a great place, and we've mounted a very good battle against people who are trying to do us in, to be honest. But I think that we're on the winning side right now.
The way it has been managed up until now reflects true San Francisco values because it hasn't just focused on grinding out people to four-year colleges, but it has enriched the lives of San Franciscans in a complete way, respecting diversity, having ethnic studies, having the history of the Asian American culture, of gay culture, of women's culture.
I get customers at work who will tell me, you know, oh, City College, you know, I was going to take a sewing class there or this and that, but I heard it was closing, so I was like, no, actually, we're not, you know, please come take your class, you know. It seems outside of it. It's definitely prevented a lot of people from registering for classes. Yeah, because they think it is closing. Yeah.
You just heard the voices of CCSF Women's Studies faculty member Leslie Simon, community member Tomasita Medal, and student Iso Murillo. Do you go to City College or know someone who does? What's your take on the accreditation situation? You can tell us about it at our tip line. Just leave us a message at 415-264-7106. That number again to leave us a message is 415-264-7106, and we'll try to play your feedback on the air. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan.
The story at City College has had lots of twists and turns since last year. And the Chronicle's higher education reporter, Nanette Asimov, has been one of the public's main sources for information about it. She sat down with executive editor Ben Trefney to talk about how the school got to where it is today and where it's going next.
So since the accreditation issue came up last year, what's changed at CCSF?
Almost immediately, City College went into high gear to address the issues listed in the accreditation report. And, you know, they could have done nothing, but they tried to do everything. And so what has changed is they've spent a year addressing one by one all of these problems that the Accreditation Commission said they had. For instance, they earlier had no planning, no system for planning their budgeting out beyond, you know, the current horrible year of cuts and whatever. And now, so they say, they have multi-year budgeting going on, which is significant for any large institution. I mean, it's a huge institution. To not be able to predict how you're going to spend your money a few years out is significantly problematic. Another issue that has apparently changed is something called enrollment management. Imagine, again, a huge institution that has really no idea how it will plan for the students that it has. In other words, if you know you're going to have a certain number of students coming in, you have to figure out what courses you're going to offer those students, what they need, and who will teach them. But City College didn't operate that way in the past. It just sort of said, well, what courses do we want to teach? And all right, how many students are coming in? You know, they weren't connected. And so that was a huge issue for them to change.
That sounds very disorganized before the Oversight Committee came in and looked at it.
I think that would be something the commission would have said, yes, disorganized. And I think they might have even used that word. And then Another kind of issue that has changed is that the federal law requires that all schools, all colleges, do something called student learning outcomes, known colloquially as doing your SLOs. And City College did not do their SLOs. They just taught, you know, and they're good teachers, so they taught well. But they didn't measure how well they were teaching as required. That's called student learning outcomes. And a small group of instructors really took this to heart and developed a process to create student learning outcomes. And it's been a huge endeavor for the college with collecting data, getting instructors on board with this. And so that is major for City College of San Francisco. Evidently, they are now measuring their student learning outcomes and changing their instruction as a result to match what they discover.
So if City College were to lose its accreditation, how would that affect the institution?
Well, a college requires, it has to be accredited in order to receive state and federal funding. I don't think that actually federal funding is given except in the form of financial aid. But without accreditation, it wouldn't be state funded and its students could not receive financial aid. And what I'm told is that it would have to close because of that. Without that money, it doesn't function.
So what are some of the other possible outcomes from the commission's decision, which we're expecting next month?
Right. Well, I think everybody at City College, the leadership at City College, I should say, is hoping that they'll be upgraded to probation or, you know, they wouldn't mind being on warning or fully accredited. But is that likely? The leadership here thinks they'll probably be placed on probation. Why is that? They've worked really, really hard. But City College is the first to say that they haven't fixed everything.
Do you see the situation at City College to be emblematic at all of what's going on in public higher education on the whole? I mean, CCSF has so many different services. We talked about the number of people who live and work in San Francisco and the surrounding areas who get adult education there, ESL, vocational training, GEDs, enrichment classes. What does this say about the status of City College?
Well, I think the recession, the economic crisis that has, you know, swept the country over the last number of years has just shaken education to the core. And it's caused a lot of these problems. And the reason is that it's hard when your budget drops so precariously. I can't tell you exactly how much City College has lost, but it's like, you know, millions and millions of dollars, as have other colleges around the country. What do you do about that? You can either realize that you have to downsize your what you're doing. You're going to maybe have to lay people off. You're going to have to offer fewer classes. You're going to have to, if you're doing enrollment management properly, if your college is well run, you can, you know, sadly shrink to fit the budget that you have. But if your college doesn't have those controls in place, then you're just in trouble. And that happens to a lot of colleges that really aren't properly run. So what's happening across the country is now the forced look at, well, how do we run our school? And are we in a good position to shrink if we need to or grow if we need to? And that's what's happening to City College. And that's what is happening to other schools as well.
That was Nanette Asimov, higher education reporter at the San Francisco Chronicle, speaking with KALW's Ben Trefney. This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Holly Kernan. For decades, California's public university system has been a model for the world, and its prestige has helped create much of the state's prosperity. But more recently, the system has been stumbling. A victim of constant budget cutting, chronic overcrowding, and administrative gridlock. The situation at CCSF is just one local example of that, but the state's budget woes have affected all facets of higher education. According to a recent analysis by the Bay Area News Group, 5 of the 23 CSU campuses have more applicants than available spaces in every major. KALW's Lisa Carmack spoke with several recent graduates of San Francisco State University about the challenges and triumphs of their public education.
Going into journalism, I'm thinking I can't get a full-time journalism job. I'm going to get like some other kind of job and then hustle for the stories that I want to share. I'm a little bit worried about it, but I'm just not going to worry about it because I don't want a smell of desperation when I'm going for an interview.
And I'm like, I'm funny. I'll get a job for sure. A lot of people are cynical about that sort of thing, like whether or not they'll find a job. But my philosophy is always, someone has to get this job. Why not me?
I kind of did bad in community college for a long time. I wasn't very serious. I don't think like I didn't have the ability. I just didn't really care. And then I kind of got my life together, and then I came here, and 4.0 just rocked it, and now I'm out.
You just heard from Aaron Browner, Benjamin Pat, and Matthew Shulman, all recent graduates from San Francisco State. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan. Many Californians don't know it, but our state does have a plan for public higher education. It's actually called the Master Plan for Higher Education. It was drafted in 1960 and formally lays out the state's original goal for the system: to provide top-notch higher education that's accessible to all students, regardless of financial status. KALW's Jen Chien looks into the master plan's past and what it means for the state today.
Have you heard of the California Master Plan for Higher Education of 1960?
No, I have not.
No, I have not.
I've never heard of it before.
No, I haven't.
No.
No, you haven't.
I have not.
No, not really.
Of 1960? No, I'm not aware of that. And no.
Yes, actually. I heard about it in my ethnic studies class. I would have had no idea. I don't think anyone really knows about it. Which is weird because it's supposed to be like the master plan. I feel like everyone should know. But I don't think people really know that like there is a plan in California for everyone to go to college.
That was an unscientific sample I took of students at San Francisco State University. That last guy, Mazen Magoob, had it right. California really does have a plan for everyone to go to college. In the early 60s, the state's future looked sunny and bright. Pat Brown, father of our current governor, Jerry Brown, was in his first term as governor, and he had an ambitious agenda.
I think the state of California is the greatest place in all God's earth, and we're making it better in every way.
That clip is from the 2011 documentary, A California State of Mind. Governor Pat Brown oversaw the creation of much of what defines California today. Landmark civil rights legislation, massive freeway expansion, and the design and construction of the state's complex water system. Brown also presided over the creation of the master plan, the blueprint for the state's college system. Baby boomers were coming of age, and that meant a flood of new students in higher education. And in the spirit of the big projects of the day, Governor Brown wanted a more coherent plan for the state's system of higher education, a kind of sweeping statement of principles and goals. He convened 15 education advisors to draft it. Clark Kerr, who was president of UC at the time, was the plan's main architect.
Universities being called upon to educate previously unimagined numbers of students, to respond to the expanding claims of national service, to merge its activities with industry as never before.
The state already had a public college system, but the new plan tried to better define each school's role. The UCs were supposed to focus on research, the CSUs on preparing teachers, and the community colleges on preparing students for transfer to the four-year schools. In this way, every high school graduate was guaranteed entry into the system. And although students would be expected to pay for incidentals like dorm housing or textbooks, tuition was supposed to be free.
So far as the governor can stop it, there will never be a tuition at the University of California or the state colleges or the junior colleges of our land. Believe me.
I'm Beverly Hayon. I'm 67 years old, and I live in San Francisco. Simply put, I had a public education from beginning to end.
Beverly Hayon's path through school followed the plan. Beginning as a child, she went to Los Angeles public schools, then to Los Angeles City College.
And from there transferred to San Francisco, where I actually attended for one semester San Francisco City College and then went on to San Francisco State. And I graduated in 1968.
Her tuition wasn't free, though it was very low. See, the master plan itself was never a law. It was a set of recommendations for legislators to act on. And as it turned out, free tuition was one of many recommendations that never became law. Some others were consistent admission standards across the three systems, increases in funding, and a proposed full-year calendar that included adult education. Still, the plan seemed to work, especially for students like Hayon. She says she always wanted to go to college, but that when she graduated high school, she didn't really know how to get there.
I'm the daughter of an immigrant. My mother did not really understand or know how to manipulate the public school system. So I never had any encouragement or guidance or help in planning for college.
Given that lack of support, she says that the accessibility of community college was key to her success.
Because no planning was involved, I didn't have to think about it or apply. You know, you just went to City College and signed up for your classes whenever, registration was in progress.
Hayon worked all through school.
I was actually a long-distance operator back in the day when you actually had all these cords that you had to plug into little holes. And so that's a really long time ago.
Even while working, she says she never felt like a degree was out of her reach.
I think the system worked very well for me.
When Hayon was at SF State, student fees were around $50 a semester. Students today pay much more. Adenike Hamilton was president of the Student Association at SF State for the 2012-13 academic year. I spoke with her at her office in the Student Union building.
Now tuition is way over $3,000 a semester, and that's just for registration and fees. That doesn't include books or housing or things like that that are also student necessities.
Even adjusted for inflation, that's more than five times as much as Hayon paid.
And tuition has risen sharply at all three branches of the state's higher education system, especially in the last decade. Just like when the boomers were coming of age, California's college-age population is growing. The number of high school graduates hit an all-time high in 2010. But with more and more cut from their budgets each year, the UCs and CSUs are accepting fewer and fewer of their in-state applicants. So, Hamilton says, class availability and overcrowding are also major issues.
At the beginning of the semester, there's a huge rush for students who weren't able to add the class during the registration periods, trying to crash classes. You see people sitting on the floors trying to get into the classes, things like that.
This competition to get into the classes that you need, plus the rising cost of tuition, can make going to a California public university a stressful experience.
You know, what's the quality of education when you're taking seven classes because you can't, you know, you're trying to take as many as possible to get out of here? Or what's the quality of education when, you know, you are not able to take the classes that you need and you end up taking filler classes that you don't need? And you're not working towards, well, you're working towards a degree, but it's not in the way that, you know, you want to get there.
Hamilton's statement could also be about the system as a whole. California is working toward college degrees for its students, but how are we getting there? Robert Shireman of education policy think tank California Competes says it's no wonder the plan is faltering under the weight of so many changes.
Really, the plan was only supposed to be a plan for 1960 to 1975.
The idea was that a higher education oversight board would revisit the master plan every 5 to 10 years to check in with how the state was doing. But there really haven't been any major changes to the plan in these 50-plus years. And in fact, Governor Jerry Brown closed down the oversight board in 2011.
And so we have kind of been drifting, operating on the fumes of the master plan without really revising it to acknowledge the changed world that we live in and the very different California that we are in.
Shireman says there were many things that the people who wrote the plan could not have predicted. For example, shifting gender roles.
When the plan was drafted, most women did not go to college. So when they were figuring out their projections of how many people will need to be housed in our colleges and universities around the state, they were making those projections based on what they saw in the world then.
In other words, only men. And the state's demographics have changed a lot in the last 50 years, much of that due to immigration. We now have more than 1.5 million English language learners in the school system, a fact which the master plan takes no account of. At the time of the master plan's writing, it was still possible to make a decent living with just a high school diploma. But today,
the labor market has changed now, where you pretty much need to have some type of college education in order to get a good family-sustaining job.
And then there's the decline in state spending on higher education. When Beverly Heon graduated in 1968, California was spending about 17% of its budget on its world-class university system. 40 years later, that number is more like 11%.
If you go back to the 50s and the 60s, when the master plan was in its heyday, we had a lot of money, and the state was doing really well.
Michael Kirst is a professor emeritus at Stanford and president of the California Board of Education.
So you've got a master plan for a period when you had a lot more money per pupil and willingness to spend it on public services than we do now.
Kirst says the master plan was born out of an era when there was just a lot more confidence in the idea of planning.
Now you don't hear much about master planning in America for much of anything. We're much more of a freewheeling. Things happen bottom up. Our area, the Silicon Valley, is very much, you can't plan Silicon Valley. It just morphs from thing to thing. So the whole idea that you can build a master plan for an animal as complex as California post-secondary education doesn't seem to fit with the times anymore.
He says maybe we don't even need a document like the master plan anymore.
For its own time, the master plan was bold, creative, and innovative. And so what I keep thinking about is this the time for California once again to think of an entirely new model
And the architects of that new model may just come from the ranks of students currently enrolled in California's public universities. Someone like Mazen Magoob, who learned about the master plan in his class at SF State.
Do you feel like it would be important for your peers, for other students to know about that?
Not just my peers, but I think they should teach it in high school, like when people are applying to college, so that they know that like their state has made them a promise that they should get a higher education.
A promise that California is still figuring out how to keep. In San Francisco, I'm Jen Chien for Cross Currents.
Do you have an idea for a new master plan? You can let us know at our Facebook page. We're KALW. And that's it for today's Cross Currents from KALW News. Our team includes Tiffany Kamhai, Lisa Carmack, Jen Chien, Ben DeLuca, Audrey Dilling, Ashley Ann Krugbaum, Teddy Lederer, Seth Samuel, Judy Silber, Stephen Short, Ava Sansan, Melanie Young, and Mary Willis. Today's show was engineered by Chris Hoff. Casey Miner is our senior editor. Our managing editor is Martina Castro. Ben Trefney is our executive editor. And thanks to you. KALW is independent, listener-supported public radio. When a band is named Rocket Ship, Rocket Ship, you expect a powerful, speedy sound. And that's what you get as you're hearing now. Rocket Ship, Rocket Ship will be strapping on their jetpacks and crossing to the other side of the bay for a show at the Uptown Nightclub in Oakland on Friday at about 8 p.m. All of that information and more local bands is at KALW.org. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly Kernan.